with a closer look at the news and events affecting Prince George. Welcome to After 9 on 93.1 CFIS-FM.
Well, good morning, everyone, in the local area of Prince George. Welcome to After 9, the Monday morning wake-up call show here on in Prince George on CFIS. Thanks so much for joining me today. We were going to be speaking to Stop the Spray. We're hoping that James is going to give us a call here. Please do. We tried to call you, and hopefully you're on the phone there. But we have a, quite a huge problem in our forests between the cutting down of the old growth forest and the elimination of species and spraying. It's just getting a little out of hand, hey, Phyllis? And
oh, yeah.
We have Phyllis Warren here with us once again, yeah. And Alan's on the soundboard this morning.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've got a post here I'd like to read for you, which is the voice of probably a vast majority, and this is a fellow that works within the logging industry. It says, I am a forestry worker. Most importantly, I am also a family man. I grew up in the forests of northern British Columbia. I have watched our forests suffer the pine beetle epidemic, spruce beetle, and now massive elimination through clear cutting, spraying, and log export. Sorry about that.
Oh, my goodness.
There's a BI flying in there.
It must be Monday.
No, this is every day, Phyllis. Sorry. As you see, no one see, I struggle with some of these things sometime. He also states, and automation. The biggest sins being committed by our current forestry practices against nature are spraying, glyphosate, and backpacks and aerials, slash burning piles, clear cutting, law rog exports, greed-led automation. No joke, it's really happening. We are so polarized between profitability and sustaining our forests, we cannot have both. It's time we made a choice. To continue or to give nature a chance to use her own powers of regeneration with the help from the stewardship of caring people like ourselves. Now, it is time to take back our forests, our health, and our planet. We have been monopolized by corporations and greed and non-caring about people for long enough. They're attacking our ecosystem, poisoning our rivers. Phyllis, we were discussing yesterday, you have a friend who lives in Kamloops area.
Yes.
Somewhere around the bottom of Sun Peaks, is it?
Yeah, Heffley Creek.
Yeah. So,
and, you know Heffley Creek?
Yeah, very nice little community there. And, they've been spraying there. And it's funny because her and her family get sick after the spray, and most of the people in this little community get sick, and the songbirds, what is going on with that? Well, they're spraying.
So they're not hearing the songbirds anymore like they used to. They've got the crows and the scavenger birds, but no.
And one little dove that my friend's husband just loves because he's always singing to him, But, yes, and then even in this little community, the plants, the shrubs are starting to die after all these years,
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for them to maintain a real nice looking lawn with little shrubs and flowers because they're dying.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the strange thing about it and the downfall of and collateral damage done is by rain coming down, washing these poisons into areas that perhaps they weren't meant to begin with. But what my misunderstanding of it is why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
It kills the aspen, it kills the birch, it kills the berries.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking areas of berries and people who are out foraging in the forest may be gathering their food out in these areas. They don't even realize they've been sprayed. They may think, oh, this is kind of weird looking little area here, because it does kind of come back after a little while, but it looks stubby and dead. And our practice of tree planting, I just don't understand it. Why they have to log an area and then plant it. I was up in Stewart, and I was fortunate enough to go down the Portland Canal with Captain Ron and my friend Elmer. And we went down there, and we're going, it's about quite a long inland canal, about 1,000 feet deep, so in areas. And as you're going along, you're seeing sections of land. And Captain Ron says to me, he goes, yeah, he goes, you see that over there, that section? He goes, that was all reforested in by tree planting. Yep. And it was stubby, terrible, kind of half-grown trees. And then he goes, yeah, and look at that one over there. 3 years after the planted forest happened, there was a forest fire there. Well, this whole forest fire area was completely new and rejuvenated. Mm-hmm. And they had just basically let that section of land burn because it wasn't Crown land. Apparently, it was Aboriginal land. So, yeah. And there's certain things that are done certain ways for certain
people
and areas that aren't getting it for others. So I've had experiences of folks telling me that they've been out horseback riding, and all of a sudden a helicopter flew over and there's this stuff landed all over them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or people out and hunting trap lines, or people camping in the deep woods. These things are going on a regular basis. And I was just so hoping that James was going to be on today. I'm not sure why he's not calling in. And please call
I'm
James.
I'm staring at the phone board.
Yeah, he's staring at the phone board, but
trying to stay
about
away.
About replantation. My mother was part of replantation around Purden Lake area back in the 70s, you know, and as we drove towards Alberta, I would always point out to my kids, look at Grandma's forest. Mm-hmm. Now, that is completely growing up. It is beautiful there alongside Purden Lake area. And we still refer it as Grandma's Forest, right? But then there was no spray back then for replanting this forest area, you know? So it's...
Well, it was logged, right? That
yes,
area
was
logged. So what the big thing here is they're spraying glyphosate, which is something that they have a $1 billion lawsuit in the United States for poisoning people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how does workman's compensation deal with these people who walked around in backpacks and unknowingly sprayed this stuff all over the thing? How is the downfall in their life? What's going on with this? Why are we even doing these ridiculous practices? And the thing is that there's only five major forest companies that are doing this to our land. And what it is there's tree farm licenses, which are the coveted licenses, which these people are apparently the ones that take, and they do this spraying, and they're given this management. So they're basically stating that deciduous trees have no value. They want to take our deciduous trees and all our areas out and monoforest them, is what the term is called.
Oh. Now,
yeah. So we're having monoforests or planting pine and spruce. Well, what I don't understand is how, if you've sprayed this killer on, excuse me, on the forest floor, how do you expect to plant successfully trees on it when there's some substantiation of poison in there to begin with?
And
so are we
going to
be and expect them to grow properly? Who makes these rules? Who is the moron, I will say, who's allowing the virtually, and I'm not even sure that all of these are Canadian companies. So there's Canadian Forest Products, West Fraser Timber, International Forest Products, Tolko Industries, and Western Forest Products are the five main licensee holders. They have been. These people have been manipulating the forests for the past, probably, I would suspect, about 30, 40 years.
Yeah, and you see, evergreens, they grow really good when they have a tree that has leaves and they lose
exactly
them. Then you're recycling that natural fertilizer.
Falls all back
and
in.
It you know, when they have the leaves on and everything, these little trees are shaded. That's what they love to grow in. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, they get bigger than those leafy trees.
And they fall over, the leafy trees. They yes. end up, they're part of the rotting cycle. Yes. It's all part of those aspens and poplars and all those things like
but
that.
But that's good food for the animals out there.
Exactly.
And for the birds to make homes in and you know, the deer and the moose. And, mm-hmm. and it's a complete cycle. Even the mice play a role
oh,
in this
absolutely.
Cycle
the
of
moles,
life.
And you know what really is the worst affected? Is the natural fungi and the roots and the communication that goes on between the trees. We're discovering now that trees communicate with each other through their roots, through the natural fungi that grow. Mm-hmm. And each little bit is inherent to the development of the other. So
right.
when you take this out of this process, how are we even having this even happen? We need to literally bring together a public forum on whether we want to continue this forest practice. And that's what I'm hoping to call for, is not just a governmental decision-making thing where they do it in-house. I would like to see a public forum done on this and really talk to people if they want poison sprayed on their natural forests to flow into their rivers and their watersheds. We've got so much going against us already that how are we supposed to function.
And not only that, people go out and camp and outline
totally.
Areas of the spray, right? So what are you putting your kids through in
mm-hmm.
this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not too far from where you're camping, you know, and this is affecting everything. It's affecting the fish, everything that we need,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
you know.
They're talking salmon stocks. I mean, there's so much to do. We're just dumping poison, dumping anything we can. I mean, between sewage and glyphosate, it's just a really bad mess. And what are we going to do about it? And who defines these timber supply areas? Every portion of the province that isn't a provincial park is spoken for by these tree lot license holders.
Wow.
There isn't a space of public land that isn't held by these license holders. And then we've got to look into asking questions of why we're allowing these five major companies to continue to pillage, literally pillage. Now, if we were taking our wood to mills and to furniture factories and second grade, and we were able to buy or do something with the wood we were taking from the forest as a second industry beyond logging, then that makes sense. But the wholesale rape of our forests, and I'm not making an understatement by saying that, folks, because it is happening within our province, that is basically wrong.
And not only that, they should replant these areas, because sooner or later they're going to have to use that new growth, you know, like
mm-hmm. And we're planting things that take a long time to produce and show result.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you said, this forest out at Purdon and all that through there, they used to state that could be seen, that was such a catastrophe ecologically, that it could be seen from space.
Right.
There's photos of it. So how is that even able to carry on? And yet we aren't relogging these forests. And that was what, 45 years ago?
45, 50 years
ago. So those
are
secondary
yeah.
growth. So that's our turnaround on that. That's absolutely ridiculous. Now, why aren't we looking at ways to taking these areas that we've already logged and looking into human development? Take what they've taken down, put into campsites, put into areas that could be used for other forms of industry. Why not develop residential areas and things like that out within those areas that are already logged, and why are those areas being logged not tied into a plan for the benefit of the whole province, not just industry? So we're going to take a quick break here on Cold Snap, and we will be back shortly.
Monday mornings.
Tune in on Sunday mornings at 8:30 for our Let the Bible Speak radio broadcast. This is Pastor Andrew Simpson, and each week on our program we will hear Christ Jesus being preached, gospel hymns being sung, and encouraging news from our churches in British Columbia. Our goal at Let the Bible Speak is to preach Christ in all His fullness to man in all his need. So tune in on Sunday mornings at 8:30 for Let the Bible Speak, only here on 93.1 CFIS-FM.
If you are affected by dementia, you are not alone. The Alzheimer's Society of BC currently offers telesupport groups for care partners who are caring for someone living with dementia. The Interior and Northern BC telesupport group meets the second Thursday of each month from 7 to 8 and the third Monday of each month from 2 to 3. For more information or to register, call the First Link Dementia Helpline at 1-800-936-6033 or email info.helpline@alzheimerbc.org.
Individuals who experienced sexual misconduct as a member of the Canadian Armed Forces or as an employee of the Department of National Defense may qualify for financial compensation and participate in a restorative engagement program. Staff of the non-public funds Canadian Forces may also be eligible. Claims for financial compensation and the restorative engagement program must be filed by November 24th. Be heard. To file a claim, visit caf-dnd-sexual-misconduct-class-action.ca.
Forecast from Environment Canada. Sunny today, a high of 8 with a high UV index. Clear tonight, becoming partly cloudy overnight, wind at 15K, a low of minus 7 with a wind chill to minus 12. For Tuesday, mainly sunny, a high of 11 with a high UV index.
You're listening to After 9 on Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS-FM.
Well, welcome back to After 9, Monday morning wake up. Sorry, not Cold Snap.
What program were you working on just before we came on the air, though,
yeah,
Echo?
It's live, yes. Not Memorex.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I apologize.
I was going to say, we have not gotten in touch with James from Stop the Stray yet. But I was going to say, one thing I noticed when I was doing the Morning Citizen today, they have extended who can register now for vaccinations.
Oh,
and the other number they just sort of threw in there almost casually was about 1 million people in BC have been vaccinated.
Yay.
Yeah. And there's one of them, at least of them. Have you?
Nope. Just one of us here, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
me.
Phyllis, you're still here.
Yes, I am.
Obviously.
I survived.
Yes.
Yes.
Where did you go to the Civic Center?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
That was Thursday.
So I guess, first of all, what's the process there? Just for people who haven't had it. I've heard that the vaccination itself is relatively painless, but so is the whole process.
Yes, it is. So I arrived at the main doors at the Civic Center, and I was met by two people asking me if I needed a mask. I did not, because I double mask.
Mm-hmm.
So I was led to the far end, where you have your medical card ready and walk in there, and there's nice people on computers just waiting to help you, right? You give that to them. They give you a little sticker with your appointment time, which you display somewhere where someone can see,
mm-hmm.
right? And then after that, you're led to the second phase of it, where you're given a seat, and there is quite a few booths on either side of this area.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as the first availability comes up, you're taken in. They ask you a few questions.
Mm-hmm.
Which arm do you want? You
mm-hmm.
motion. They shoot it in that arm. Then you're led to a third phase where you sit and wait just in case there's any reactions,
mm-hmm.
right? And then at your needle, they give you the time that you leave. So in this third area, you're sitting there watching a clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then your time arrives, and you get up, and you take your sticker off, and you put it on this poster, and that's it.
Okay.
A little bit of soreness in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a headache and hot and cold, but, you know, that's an age thing, you know.
But, and that's the other thing is, I hear about the side effects, and a lot of people say that same thing. Well, I had a bit of a headache for a while and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and a bit of a sore arm. Well, a lot of times, if you go to give blood, people who have given blood for, like, you know, 40, 50 times will still say, my arm was sore.
Yes.
But they're used to that. And with the headache and things, I'm wondering as well whether – I'm not going to say psychosomatic, but I'm wondering how much of that was people worrying about getting the vaccine.
Right.
And then when they do get it, they've just got a little bit of headache afterwards.
It's just a relief or something.
Well, yeah.
It's almost a stress.
And, you know, my biggest thing was, what kind of vaccine are we working with here, mm-hmm. folks, right? Because there's
so
all
these
stories.
So you didn't get the AstraZeneca one that they've been having problems under 55s? Yeah.
Yeah. And we got to look at that. You know, there was about 30 cases out of 100,000 vaccinations, right? Yeah. But that still gives that doubt, right? I received was the Pfizer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was a good time to get it on a Thursday, take it home, spend the weekend, headache, hot, mm-hmm. cold, sore arm. But by Sunday, mostly everything had went away.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a few days. And then I hear some people, some friends of ours, had it on Monday or Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And they had nothing.
No.
Well, I guess they're kind of invading your body with the virus, so it auto fights it off or whatever. So that makes sense, really, that beyond the stress thing, that you might get a headache and you might feel fevery because those are symptoms of the virus itself.
And they tell you right there, it's not a live virus that is being injected, right?
No.
So another friend of mine was saying, well, this is how your body accepts new things. Mm-hmm. You know, you automatically get a little headache, a little bit of fever, a little bit of chills, because your body's saying, should I fight it off or should I accept it? You know, so I'm feeling quite good. I'm halfway there, right? Yeah.
How long before you get your next shot?
They said 12 to 16 weeks.
Wow, okay.
Right? But I heard this morning that we're getting a lot more vaccines in Canada.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to start really picking up here, you know, for other people. And I think we should just take that 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, just to protect ourselves. And it's not really protecting ourselves. It's protecting our loved ones.
Yeah, well, they're talking about not being able to travel. They're talking about restrictions being put on people who haven't got the shot. So I'm kind of like I'm not an anti-vaxxer by any means. I think we should all get our children and everybody vaccinated. But I've never taken a flu shot. And I just kind of have always felt really odd about that. So I'm nervous to jump on this shot bandwagon. How about you, Alan?
Well, for instance, if you're figuring traveling overseas, you have to produce a record of inoculations against certain things already.
I'm talking about on a philosophical level.
Yeah, true enough.
That's good for that point. But, it just seems that we're being conscripted to do this, and conscription is something that's always bothered me.
You have the freedom to have the shot or not.
Exactly.
Other people then have the freedom to say, no, you can't come in here unless you've had the shot.
Yep.
You can't have your freedom without allowing them their freedom.
Exactly.
So, your choice.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I don't run and get my flu shot every year.
No.
Right? No, and that's what I'm saying.
You
so
drive?
It's not something.
Al, I don't run anywhere. You know?
I'm not going to say nothing because I'm not in any shape to talk, literally.
But still, you know, like, the way I looked at it, like, should I, shouldn't I, you know, like, But then I started thinking, I need to protect people around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my brothers and sisters are older than me.
And you're
me.
The one out running around getting the groceries and
getting
doing things and you're helping
and
with errands
else.
And stuff. Yeah.
The last thing I need to do is bring this home to my husband, who is compromised,
mm-hmm.
right? And the first thing I want to do when I'm fully vaccinated is grab my grandsons and give a big, huge group hug, because now I can show that affection to them, because it's been a long, long year without that little hands around my neck. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break here, and we will be back with Not Cold Snap, but After 9.
Their doors may be closed, but the Exploration Place has a new exhibit. It's the first use of their brand new online collaborations database for a virtual exhibit. The new temporary exhibition has been created to commemorate some of the people, places, objects, and events that have helped shape Prince George. Made possible with support from the government of BC, celebrate our community digitally with the new virtual exhibit from the Exploration Place Museum and Science Center. Find the link at theexplorationplace.com.
Vancouver's longest-running short filmmaking program has six films in production to premiere at the 22nd annual Crazy Eights Gala next month. A variety of movie genres, from cultural drama to dark comedy, are being covered, with each film being produced over the course of eight crazy days. The completed films will be shown on May 1st during the first-ever online Crazy Eights Gala. Full details are available at crazy8s.film. The Crazy Eights 2021 Gala Screening, May 1st, online.
The National Youth Council of the Congress of Aboriginal Peoples has launched a new COVID-19 education campaign. The initiative is geared towards educating the public and supporting Indigenous youth across the country who have been negatively impacted by COVID-19. The campaign highlights five key themes: health, mental health, broadband and technology, youth homelessness, and Indigenous youth rights. Full details of the program are available through the website specifically developed for the campaign, capyouth.ca.
The value of one, the power of many. That's the theme for National Volunteer Week 2021. The value of one, the power of many, reflects on the awe-inspiring acts of kindness by millions of individuals and the magic that happens when we work together towards a common purpose. Celebrate the importance of volunteerism across BC with the annual National Volunteer Week Photo Contest. Full details are available through the National Volunteer Week link at volunteerbc.bc.ca. National Volunteer Week, starting Sunday across Canada. The value of one, the power of many.
Keeping you up to date on current news and events in and around Prince George. This is After 9 on 93.1 CFIS FM.
Well, we're back on After 9, and we were hoping to talk about Stop the Spray this morning, to do with the spraying of glyphosate all over our forest areas, which is despicable and
evil.
Next Monday definitely we'll be getting them on, hopefully.
We'll definitely be getting on, hopefully. Okay.
getting them on the air, hopefully.
But I was going from definitely to hopefully in the space of less than one sentence.
Well, it's a story.
That's called hedging your bets.
Exactly.
It's called Mondays.
Yeah. Now, one question I did have, Phyllis, when you were describing the process for the vaccination at the Civic Center, how long did you have to wait in that third area with the clock, sort of, was
15 minutes.
So had they told you ahead of time that there would be this wait, or?
Yes, you're told that you have to wait for a bit, and during that time they give you two flyers.
Okay.
So you have ample time to sit there and read them. I read them a couple of times.
Or you could bring a little book of your own along.
Or play on your phone.
Yeah.
Right? And before you know it, bang, 15 minutes is over.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing is that our friends went before me, and they were asked if they had a driver. And they said, it's a good thing we brought our son. And they said, weren't you informed to have a driver, right, when you made your appointment?
Okay.
And I told them, no one mentioned a driver to me. And they said, well, get a driver. Just to play it safe, because it's that first half hour after it that, you know, you can't
drive yourself. Okay.
That 15 minutes, I think they have found, is usually when, say, 99% of reactions will set in. If anybody's going to have a reaction, it's going to be in those first 15 minutes.
Yes.
After that, there is still a chance. But it's the same as, like, you hear about people who say get stung by a bee.
Right.
And some of them, it's immediate. Boom. They're in shock right now. anaphylactic shock, whatever it's called, and all of a sudden they can't breathe, they're on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got other people who, like, it's that night is when all of a sudden it starts to affect them. So it's the same thing here.
Yeah.
Different people have different systems.
And they ask you, too, if you have any allergic reactions to anything. They also want to know if you've been vaccinated for something else 2 weeks prior.
Okay.
And if you've got an appointment for some sort of vaccination 2 weeks after. So that's a heads up, you know. So, but, you know, it's very, very fast, smooth. The people who are working there, very friendly, you know. And, of course, it's social distancing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, masks on.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. You know, the nurse stands 6 feet away and throws the needle at your arm.
Yeah, that
just
would
be safe.
Yeah, yeah, that would.
It takes a while there sometimes.
Yeah. Make you really wonder.
Yeah, you know what else is fast and easy? Registering online.
Oh yeah,
I did that last week, and it was like you go on. You just make sure you got your medical card, and the first thing they do is they say, you know, have your medical card ready, and they show you on the back where your medical health number is because that's the number you enter. And I did that. Filled in a few things. I can't remember now what it all was. It was basically just who I was and everything. And what number you want to be contacted at, because they asked for an email address and a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, which number would you prefer us to contact you at with your registration number and with your appointment time?
Yes.
And I got off the computer. My phone beeped. I picked it up. The message was there. My registration number had come up on the screen, and I was about to write it down. All of a sudden, I hear a beep on my phone, and I look, and, oh, there it is on my phone with my registration number.
See, so that's how easy it is. And not to get off topic or anything, but if it's that easy for them to do that, then why – this isn't really off topic, but it is somewhat off topic. Why are we not able to have that same responsibility with imaging and testing and cancer testing for timely delivery of those services? There's so many deficits in the area of medical that then all of a sudden that they can pull off something like that, Alan, to me is mind-boggling. As a person with a disability and dealing with disability people on a regular basis, not everybody has the ability to do computers. Half of us can't even get our own medical records properly and can't remember. Yeah. So it's almost for people who don't have the ability, children, disabled, and to have the records kept for that. Like, I myself, if I got a shot 2 weeks ago, I might not remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, they're not taking things like that into consideration on a consistent basis when it comes to a lot of testing.
Well, I booked my appointment on the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do have a phone number 7 till 7.
Yes.
I think it's, I can't remember if it's 7 days a week or just weekdays. I think it's 7 days a week, 7 to 7.
Yes.
You call, boom.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that was just it, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when I booked my husband's, I again phoned in. Yeah. And the woman referred to the website. And I said, okay, so what do you do with people that don't have computers? And she said, oh, well, then I'll do this for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have that option.
Yeah. And that, to me, makes sense as well. Because what they're trying to do is keep the phone lines open as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it on a computer, do that. Because they don't need to have a person walking you through it.
Yeah.
They're not tying up the phone line. Because, well, we still probably remember what happened the day they opened the phone lines for the first time.
And shut the phone system down.
Well, they had like, I'm trying to remember what the number was. There were something like 275,000 or 300,000 people who were eligible to register for the vaccine at that point. And they took over 1.5 million calls.
Right.
Well, it's no wonder the phone system went down.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact they didn't have a backup was not a good idea to start with. But that, I think, is one of the other reasons why they are now doing this by
both
computer.
Ways.
Yeah. The other thing is the age brackets are starting to come down now.
Mm-hmm.
As they come down, you're getting more into people who are more comfortable on the computer. Not that they're more comfortable on the computer than talking to talking to someone on the phone, but they're more comfortable on the computer. So if they've got that option, they'll probably do it on the computer because it's probably going to be a little bit quicker.
Yes.
And time is money.
Exactly, you know, and most of them, their cell phones are hooked up with Wi-Fi, and, you know, if they take the 5 minutes to sit somewhere and book an appointment, like, it's not only for you, it's for your mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, you know, cousins, aunties, uncles, you know, like, you're protecting a large group of people.
Well, my mom.
Well, hang on a second here. Not that I don't agree with that, of course, completely. But at the same time, we don't know that this is going to help us. We do to an extent. But as you said, it was having some effects on Toronto ball team, wasn't it? You said there was some
The baseball team. Yeah, when they got their vaccinations, there was a couple of the players that were having problems with the side effects of the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the headaches, the sore arm. If you're a baseball player, you can't throw a ball when you have a sore arm, right? And
well, some of the ball players I've seen look like they had a sore arm. That's beside the point. But one of the things I had heard somebody mention a couple of weeks ago when they were getting reports of, like, you know, young people having these reactions was they had a couple of medical people saying, well, part of the problem, and they didn't know this for sure, but they said part of the problem could be because they've got a stronger immune system.
Right.
It's fighting the vaccination harder than an older person would be able to. The older person's system basically says, okay, we've got this. Let's see what happens, basically. You know, if we have to fight it, we will.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't, and so the vaccine can go in and just do its job. The younger people, it's, let's fight this right now. Let's everybody head to that spot and boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Well, eventually the vaccine is still going to work.
But you're going to have
those side effects.
Yes. Yeah. And that's with any type of medical prescription or anything like that, you know, like vaccines.
For sure, for sure. Okay, we're going to take another quick break here on After 9, Morning Wake Up, and we will be back.
Richmond Cares, Richmond Gives is presenting a virtual training series on volunteer management. Topics covered include planning a volunteer program, recruitment, marketing, and communications, and recognition, retention, and staff-volunteer relations. The online classes are 10:30 to noon, Tuesdays and Thursdays from May 4th to May 20th. Full details are available through the Training Center link at rcrg.org. The Virtual Volunteer Management Training Series from Richmond Cares, Richmond Gives. Registration deadline is April 30th.
Kickstart your spring with FitNation. The Indigenous Sport, Physical Activity and Recreation Council is pleased to present a 5-part workout series brought to the comfort of your own home. FitNation leaders will guide you through each workout, providing options for each exercise in introductory, intermediate, and advanced movements. Take on the 30-minute videos one at a time, or tackle them 10 minutes at a time. The 5-part FitNation workout series. Find it on YouTube on the iSpark FitNation channel.
iSpark is seeking a sport and physical activity coordinator for the Vancouver Island region. Reporting to the manager, Sport Development and Community Engagement, the position's primary goal is to engage with local partners in the design and delivery of community-based, culturally relevant sport, recreation, and physical activity programs for Indigenous people throughout the region. Full details for this temporary full-time position are available at iSpark.ca. The application deadline for the physical activity coordinator position for the Vancouver Island region is Tuesday.
Forecast from Environment Canada. Sunny today, a high of 8 with a high UV index. Clear tonight, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Winter to 15K, a low of minus 7 with a wind chill to minus 12. For Tuesday, mainly sunny, a high of 11 with a high UV index.
It's After 9 on Prince George's Community Station, 93.1 CFIS FM.
We're
well,
back.
Good morning again, and welcome back to After 9. We are speaking
She's gotten it right every single time since we mentioned it.
Yeah.
Of course, so it helps that on those ones, you've got that sort of station note saying you're listening to After 9.
Right.
If she's listening
that's
to
kind
that
of
part,
a clue.
Yeah, it's a bit of a clue.
Yeah.
Now, lockdown that we're in right now, I think it's for about another week, I want to say, about the 19th.
I thought it was about 2 weeks, you know.
Okay.
So.
Okay, well, I think we're getting near the end of that time, so.
Yes.
We'll see what happens.
Enough snow already, let's go camping. That was my favorite post from last week, is had enough of this stuff. Well,
what I noticed last week strangely enough, was like, you know, all the snow was gone until you looked just outside our front door. And there was still some snow.
The stuff from the movie. That's so great.
And again, it's supposed to get even warmer this week.
Yes.
I think the forecast was like, you know, temperatures up around like 18 and 19.
Yes, by
the end of the week. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So again, let's sort of tie those two things in. Everybody's going to want to get outside.
Yes.
You can go out with your family group.
Right.
And just maintain. And again, the nice thing is if you're outside, it's a lot easier to maintain those distances.
Yes, exactly.
I still see it sometimes driving by CN Center parking lot. You'll see three or four vehicles parked in the parking lot, a distance apart, and the people are out of vehicles, and they're chatting, but they're maintaining that distance.
Yes. You know, and that's just it, you know. Yeah. Like a friend of mine wanted to meet for coffee. So we do the Timmy drive-through,
yep.
And we go and park, and we're on either side of the vehicles,
yep.
Talking, you know. And that's a great way to socialize. You get to see them, you know, but you're maintaining your distance.
And you get to have coffee.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
I mean, I do not drink coffee.
I find it
tends to keep me awake at work.
Oh, that is a bad thing, you know. But
the other thing is I've explained to a few people at my different jobs when they say, because a lot of times I would make the coffee at the office that I was in, even though I didn't drink it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, okay, we notice every morning when you come in, you make the coffee, but you don't drink coffee, do you? And I say, no, this is me without caffeine. Do you want to see me with?
Yes.
And most of them immediately said, yep, no problem. Don't touch the coffee.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
So,
but, you know, when I go, it's a nice cup of tea.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, but it's just being able to be social, you know,
yes.
Because I haven't seen most of my buddies since last April.
And we've lost a lot of people that we haven't even been able to get together to mourn and celebrate. And it's just... just too overwhelming.
And, yeah. And when you have family members in hospitals facing, you know, like strokes and kidney failure and stuff like this, we can't even go to the hospital to hold their hands, you know, giving them comfort that, hey, we're going to make through as a family.
Or to make sure that they're not being victimized by the system. You know, there's not even anybody as a support system to walk through this path with people. So it's very difficult.
It is. It's a very hard time.
One thing that did start at the beginning of April, as far as I know, is still going. Though is the long-term care homes have been opened again. I think it's only still one visitor at a time,
right?
It doesn't have to be the one designated person all the time.
No,
so I can go to visit a friend of mine one day, somebody else can go to visit them another day.
Right. Now, are they doing the visit room? Because I heard something about a visit room.
I think that's what they used to have. I don't know if they still do.
I don't think that there's any strict policy for anything. Everybody's been winging it. It's just ridiculous.
Well, they kind of have to because
we don't
you
know.
Go to you don't know
the other thing is, like, you know, you go to Gateway Lodge here in Prince George.
Right.
You go to Simon Fraser Lodge in Prince George.
Right.
Two completely different layouts.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mandate this is what you do, and they're going,
good point. Yeah,
we
definitely.
We don't have that area.
Yes.
So you've got to sort of tell people... you know, who are running the place for allowing visitors in, here's the type of space you need to have.
Right.
If you can come up with something like that, great.
And with the warm weather, you know, maybe we can start taking them outside where it's supposed to be better. You know, you're not enclosed in an area. You know, and then it's better for your family member to be outside in that fresh air and feel that sun hitting their face, you know.
Speaking of feeling better and fresh air, like after you got your shot, Phyllis, you said you had that bit of, but are you feeling after your initial effects wore off? Are you feeling better in general? Like, is it helping you maybe... in other ways, you might have had a cough before that isn't so prevalent now, or are you...
Yeah, come to think of it. Mm-hmm. I always thought I had allergies, so, you know, and I'm a smoker, right? But I noticed in the last day or so that I'm not really coughing so much.
As bad as you were.
Yeah.
And the sniffles, right? Mm-hmm. Because in the morning I get up, I got to blow my nose because I got the sniffles, right? I think it's laying down sleeping that causes it, but I have to sleep.
It's congestion, like a chronic sinusitis type of a thing or something, which a lot of us have here because of the air quality.
Yeah. And I always call it allergies because it's really this time of the year with the dust and
all that
cold
stuff.
You know, some days it's cold, some days it's hot, some days it's snowing, some days it's raining, you know.
Well, some days it's doing all of those on the same day. This is Prince George.
Well, it was weird when we first came into this last March. I was roommates with a wonderful man who just recently passed away in the last little while, Michael Nell, and he was a big part of the city of Prince George. And I had the honor to, unfortunately, his dad had a stroke, and we were in a position to have to look after his mom initially as COVID stepped into the play. Well, it was very stressful because she, of course, is a beautiful lady of 92 years old. And,
yes.
And we're dealing with this and on top of it has Alzheimer's. And we were very fearful of it. I began to get sick, so I went and got a test, a COVID test. I passed all the markers they sent me, and I went and got it done. Thank God it came back negative. But at the same time, the lady said to me, I says, well, geez, you know, I just feel sick. And she goes, well, you have a virus. Yeah. You do have a virus. And I went, oh, well, what virus is it? And she says, well, I don't know. And I went, what? What do you mean you don't know? You're testing us for this virus. Well, it's not COVID, but we don't know what it is.
No.
So now my aunt, she got the COVID virus or the COVID shot and is finding that her cough is way less, and she's had a chronic cough for years. And she's feeling better, and she's actually sleeping through the night. But on that note, we have to take a break, and we will be back after 9.
Go beyond the basics of spreadsheeting with CNC's Microsoft Excel Next Level Bootcamp. This course covers more complex functions like charting and data tools, and will build upon your existing knowledge to create more functionality into your spreadsheets. CNC's new online course is instructor-led over 2 evenings. The Microsoft Next Level Bootcamp takes place April 22nd and 29th with a registration deadline of April 21st. For full details, contact the college or go online to cnc.bc.ca. As part of the federal government's pre-budget consultation, United Way Centrade Canada, in collaboration with National Community Service Partners, is calling for the establishment of a Community Services COVID-19 Relief Fund. Show your support at act.numo.net/action/support-canadian-frontline-charities. This will quickly and easily send a letter of support to Parliament Hill. Act today as the 2021 federal budget will be tabled on April 19th.
If you're in charge of a volunteer organization, you probably find yourself looking for answers in different areas. The Vantage Point can help with their program, Talk to a Consultant. Whether you need support with strategic or operational planning, performance management, recruitment, assessments, or facilitation, the Vantage Point is there for you with Talk to a Consultant. For more information on Talk to a Consultant, go to thevantagepoint.ca.
The YMCA of Northern BC is once again celebrating YMCA Healthy Kids Day, presented by Canadian Tire. Due to COVID, this year participants will receive a take-home event through a free special edition YMCA Healthy Kids magazine, which includes free passes, recipes, mindfulness activities, physical literacy assessment, and Get Active Bingo with a chance to win a Nintendo Switch. The magazine will be available on May 2nd from 11 to 2. The YMCA Healthy Kids Day, Sunday, May 2nd from your YMCA of Northern BC.
Featuring the people who make things happen in Prince George, you're listening to After 9 on 93.1 CFIS FM.
Hey, 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 we're back with After 9. It's Echo Wiley, Phyllis Warren, and Alan Wishart's on the board with us. Yahoo! Woo-hoo. And we were hoping to speak with Stop the Spray, which is a very, very important, I would say almost the next important thing to COVID. Well, no, I'm sorry, opiates. It's just one of the more important things that we need to be discussing as a community and a society these days. So we were having a humorous thing about, well, now everybody's getting their shots, won't be so bad when you go to the grocery store now, and if people are crowding around you, you can't cough to get rid of them.
In my case, we're sort of the opposite. I've had a minor cold for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's never been really bad. Like, I've never, you know, said, okay, I've got to stay inside for a couple of days and try to get rid of this. But for a while, I was coughing, you know, not constantly. And after COVID came around, I would cough, and I would sometimes get a bit of a look from people, and I would say, I've got a cold, it's a wet cough. Because I think that was one of the first things that people heard.
Was the was dry COVID. Cough.
It was a dry cough.
Pounding headache.
And I've still heard that that is, like, you know, one of the telltale symptoms. And the other thing is, at least some people lose at least some of their taste of sense of taste and smell.
Yeah.
Right.
So I figured out a way to get around that problem as well, just to make sure.
And
when I go out and get my snacks,
yeah,
I will get the occasional bag of barbecue or salt and vinegar potato chips.
Just to do the smell
just to do
test.
The taste test.
Oh, taste test.
Demi had actually said smell coffee because grind coffee and smell coffee is a good thing to test your nose with as well. But
yeah.
And it's such a great smell.
And talking about the losing the cold and stuff like this once you get vaccinated, what I heard is those long-haul COVID patients, once they get the vaccination, they seem to lose some of those symptoms that they've been carrying with them for months.
Yeah.
You know, they get rid of the headache, the fatigue, you know, and they start feeling better. And by the time they get their second shot, they say it's done.
Yeah.
You know, so there is something to this.
Does your bro in Alberta, that him and his family got it, are they going to still go get vaccinated?
Yes.
They did.
They're just waiting.
Okay.
It's a good thing that they didn't have it very, you know, the heavy set COVID, mm-hmm. you know, it was mild. And they told him he has to wait. He will be getting it in May.
Okay.
Along with the rest of the family. But they want to give him some time to recoup from it before they vaccinate, which makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you got to make sure that you're healthy.
Yeah.
I thought I'd heard on the news, you so much can't trust what you're hearing because a lot of it's
Fox News.
Well, I like to call that global in Canada. But I'm curious if someone's got COVID, has their symptoms flared up again? Have you guys heard anything? Has anybody re-caught it? Or?
Well, they were saying with these variants, some of the people have already been a COVID patient and they got the variant. Mm-hmm. But there you go. Your immune system is down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're coming out of being a COVID patient and someone comes into your home for a visit and they may be asymptomatic with a variant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly contagious, highly worse than the COVID,
right.
You know. So that's why we got to do this vaccine.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious as to how that's going to read out in the long run of the people with vaccinations getting the variant. Like, does that block us from the variants?
From everything I have heard from all the different sources, the vaccines that we get, if you will, for the main COVID, let's call it, it may not stop all the variants entirely, but it does have an effect on all of them because they all are basically still COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's like if you're doing a procedure, if you're in the hospital to do a procedure to get rid of some cancer cells, like, you know, say you're getting one of those laser treatments, the laser treatment doesn't care if it's cancer A that they know you've got, or if it's cancer B that they didn't even know you've got, it's going to kill those cells.
Right.
The same thing with the COVID vaccine.
Yes.
It's going to kill COVID-19, and it may not kill all of the variants, but it will have an effect on them because they are very close relatives, if you will, of COVID.
Right. And what I heard is that if you catch COVID-19 or a variant after you've been vaccinated, it's not going to put you in the hospital and be more severe with you.
Right.
Because your body has had time to build up that immune system.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's that's a good thing.
Well, we're evolving, so this is part of our evolution, apparently. We're all learning as, you know, we go into the future with hopefully looking through the lens of the past, but...
And that's the thing with COVID is everybody in every country around the world, every scientist is learning on the fly.
Yeah.
Because this is something, I don't think there are any scientists around today who were around for the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918.
No, yes. But a couple of the doctors here in town were at the SARS issue.
Yes.
And one of our doctors that's heading this was one of the people that was dealing with SARS.
And, you know, this is so brand new.
Yeah.
And everything's unknown. And, you know, it's a good thing we're not back in 1918 with that pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have better scientists. We have better machinery. We have better knowledge of ways to keep people alive.
Yes.
You know, and I heard that there was the first Canadian to receive a double lung transplant because of COVID had ruined their lungs. Yeah. And so far, they are doing really good.
Oh, that's great. I have Jim, a fellow lots of us might know here on the air. Used to be a bartender at the Columbus. He as well got a double lung transplant.
Yes.
And that was probably 15 years ago, I think. So medical systems have evolved to the point. Yeah. Now what we got to do is get our patient records correct and make sure our testing is happening
timely. And I know another woman, Gail, who got double lung transplant, and she's doing very well.
Yeah.
You know, so we've come a long way, folks.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to put a little bit of trust, push down our anxieties, and think of others plus our own well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we're going to get through this. We just got to do what they tell us to do. It's hard. But we're making
We're in a system that some people don't have a lot of trust for, too, it makes it very difficult. But it's evolution, baby. Mm-hmm. And we got to take another break here on After 9.
We are about ready to
We're ending the show, silly me.
Yeah, because
I'm looking at 58 and I'm not clicking on it.
Yeah, 58, okay, well, then comes 59, and then comes 10 o'clock.
Exactly. Not quite. I'm still only 58.
Okay.
Phyllis and I have gotten until October, November before the big nine comes around.
Some
of our buddies haven't. So thank you all for joining us so much on After 9. I apologize. Yeah. And I'm hoping, crossing my fingers, we'll get Stop the Spray on next week. They phoned and apologized, and unfortunately something came up. But I hope we filled the hour for you good enough. And thanks, you. Love you all.
Yeah.
Take care.
See you guys.
Yeah. Bye for now on After 9.
After 9 is a daily presentation of CFIS-FM. After 9 is produced by Alan Wishart, Reg Fair, and Nathan Gita, with guest producer Neil Godbu of the Prince George Citizen. Additional contributors include CBC News and the National Campus and Community Radio Association. For a rebroadcast of today's program, check out the podcast link at cfisfm.ca. To provide feedback or suggestions for the show, please email cfisfm@yahoo.ca.
Broadcasting at 93.1 on the FM dial, this is CFIS-FM Prince George, proudly sponsored by local businesses like Timberline Footfitters on Victoria next to Wendy's.